Welcome to TWOT Radio Episode X, where X is a variable between 95 and 100. It's possibly Tuesday the 11th of April, and this is another Windows from the Command Line. Now with my cable I'm able to get... Back with another look at some tools you can use to administer Windows NT-based boxes from the command line. Thanks for the feedback from the last episode, I'll try to keep this one a little bit shorter. Today I'm going to look at a couple of easy ways to manage services from the command line. I guess before we look at the tools, we should define what exactly a service is. It's pretty simple because basically a service is just like any other process. The only difference between a normal executable that you can run, like Notepad for instance, and a service is the way it's controlled. The special thing about services is that they don't need a user to start them up, and they generally don't have a GUI. They're run and managed by a thing called the Service Control Manager, or SCM for short. The SCM has a big database of services in the registry, and it will start up all of the processes that need to be running in the background for your machine to work. Services can also be manipulated by a user, and they're controlled through tools that interface with the SCM. For a lot more information about how services work and how you can code your own, check out the MSDN services entry at http://tinyurl.com/alpha-charlie-9-delta. Now we know what services are and how they work, how do we actually control them? The standard way is via the services GUI that you can normally find in the control panel. This was a standalone applet in NT4 and it was upgraded to a snap-in for the MMC under Windows 2000 and up. You can start this applet on an NT4 box by running control.exe %window%/system32/srvmgr.cpl/services. On a Win2k Plus box, you can just run services.msc. On a brief tangent, nearly all MMC snap-ins will work on remote servers if you pass them a /computer=" flag. The services snap-in is one that will work, provided all the RPC services are running and there's no firewalls in the way. Anyway, either of these commands provides you with a GUI that's basically an interface to the SCM. From here, you can start, pause, continue, and stop services, mess with the user they run as, change their startup type, and set up some recovery actions should the service fail. All well and good, but who wants to use a GUI? What are our options from the command line? There are two basic tools that we can use to administer services from the command line, net and sc. We'll start with net because it's a standard piece of the OS from NT4 right up to Windows 2003. Just before we dig into that, there's a tiny little bit of terminology we need to know. I'm going to use the Windows Installer service as an example for the rest of this talk because it's pretty ubiquitous and it's not too tragic if you break it. All services have two names, a display name and a key or service name. When I talk about the Windows Installer service, I'm referring to it by its display name. This is meant to be the human-friendly name, kind of like the way domain names hide IPs. The actual service name tends to be a smaller and generally less indicative name. This isn't a hard and fast rule though, and often both names are equally mysterious. In the case of the Windows Installer service, the service name is MSI Server. Let's look at what we can do with net. The net.exe executable lives in %window%/system32, and it's quite a Swiss Army knife. It can do a lot of things that I'm going to talk about in another TWOT, if someone else doesn't get there first. But for today, we're just going to look at how it can interface with the SCM. There are four options that can be passed to net to mess with services. Net start, net stop, net pause, and net continue. These sound pretty obvious, but there are a couple of hidden features. Net start, followed by either the service name or the display name, will attempt to start up the specified service. If you use the display name, then remember to wrap it in double quotes if it contains spaces. If the service is already running, then you'll get a message saying so. If not, a message will be passed to the SCM to start up the service, and if it starts successfully, and in a timely fashion, you'll get a message saying that the service started. Net will wait for the timeout period to run out before it comes back to you to tell you that the service may not have started. The other thing that Net Start can do is provide you with a list of currently running services. If you run Net Start just by itself, you'll get a list of the display names of all the currently running services. Net Stop works in a similar fashion, but it has no default action to take if you don't give it a service to work on. Those are the most useful tools that Net has for working with services. The two other options are Pause and Continue. You can probably guess what they do, but bear in mind that they only work with services that are explicitly written to have pause functionality. Services like the Telnet service, for instance. If you run net space pause space Telnet, assuming that you had the Telnet server running, then the service would remain running and it would still accept new connections, but it wouldn't provide a logon service and it wouldn't process any more commands from already connected users until you ran net space continue space Telnet. If you try to pause a service that hasn't implemented the pause functionality, you'll just get an error message saying that pause is not a valid request. And that's Net. Like I said, it's pretty basic. Let's look at the next step up, SC. What's SC? SC stands for Service Control, or Service Controller, or something of that nature. It provides a much more flexible and powerful way to manage services than Net does. Unfortunately, SC is not a part of the NT4 default install base and does not actually become standard until Windows 2003. It is a part of the NT4 and Windows 2000 resource kits and is available for free. You can get version 5.0.2134.1 from the Microsoft Resource Kit FTP site at http://tinyurl.com/sierra78tangokilo, and this version will happily run on everything from NT4 up. As I mentioned, SC is a much more powerful command than Net. Essentially, it's a command line replacement for the services applet. Not only can we start and stop services, but you can change the way they start, disable them, and even create or delete them. There's nothing you can do through the GUI that you can't do with SC. SC has some pretty extensive help which you can access by running it without any arguments. The most obvious things you want to do are the same things that you can do with Net. Let's cover those first. The SC syntax is pretty simple. SC, followed by the command you want to run, followed by the service you want to run it on. Unlike Net though, SC will not deal with display names. It will only work if you give it the service name. Luckily, SC provides a mechanism to obtain service names if you already have the display name, and vice versa. To get the service name for the Windows Installer service, for instance, you would run SC space get key name space double quote Windows space installer close double quotes. And you'll be provided with the service name MSI server. If you need or want to, you can reverse this and retrieve the display name using the get display name argument. Once you've got the right name, you can stop and start the service just like Net by typing SC space start space service name or SC space stop space service name. If all goes well, SC will submit your request to the SCM and return straight away, dumping a pretty verbose report on the current status of the service. This will include, amongst other things, a state field that will be set to start_pending or stop_pending, depending on what you've asked SC to do. All that SC does is pass the request to the SCM and exit. It doesn't wait around to see how it all went. You can then use the query argument to query the service and find out if it stopped or started. There's a beefier version of the query command, queryex, that adds the PID and the flags to the query output. The other type of query you can run is QC. QC stands for Query Config and allows you to check on the actual configuration of the service. Things like the startup type, dependencies, and binary location are some of the fields you'll see reported. Using the query argument, you can get a list of running services. Simply run SC space query and you'll get a list of all the running services. This is going to be a very long list because each service will be listed with the same 8 lines of information you get from either the start or the stop command. The query argument has a few parameters that you can pass it so that you can do more granular searches. For instance, using the state field, you can retrieve only the services that are stopped, state equals space inactive, instead of the ones that are running, or even all of the services that are installed on the box, state equals space all. Just remember, the slightly odd syntax requires that the state equals parameter is separated from the actual state you're looking for by a space. So to search for all inactive services, the command line would be SC space query space state equal sign space inactive. To search for all services on the box, sc space query space state equal sign space all. So, we can stop and start services, get names of known services, and list services by their status, running, stopped, or just present. What more could you want to do to a service? Well, SC doesn't just work with services, it can work on them as well. There are three start types for a non-driver service: auto, the service starts automatically at boot time; demand, a service starts on demand, or manually in other words; and disabled, the service will not start, even if you explicitly request it. Let's say the Windows Installer service has been disabled for security purposes. You want to turn it back on so that you can install something. SC has a command called config that can do just that. Using QC, the query config command, you can see what the current configuration settings are for a particular service. This gives you all kinds of useful information, including the location for the service executable, any dependencies it may have, and when it starts up, amongst other things. Running SC space config will provide you with enough help to make an informed decision on what you want to do. To change the start type, you just need to run SC space config space service name space start equals space start type. So to change the MSI service to start on demand, the command line would be SC space config space MSI server space start equal sign space demand. You can disable it again when you're finished by running SC space config space MSI server space start equals space disabled. There is a lot more to SC, including the ability to operate on services hosted on remote servers, and I highly recommend reading the whole man page, or whatever they're called in MS land. There is documentation included in the zip file that's on the other end of the tiny URL that I mentioned before, where you can read the manual for the version of SC included in Windows 2003 at http://tinyurl.com/papa6kilo charlie tango. There's one more thing I want to mention. I said earlier that you can use SC to create and delete services. It's important to remember that although a service is just another process based on just another executable, not just any executable can be a service. The executable has to implement the various methods that the SCM will try to use to start and stop a service normally. If you've got an executable that wasn't written with the intention of running as a service, then it just won't work. You can try this with Notepad, for instance. Running sc space create space notepad space bin path equal sign space notepad.exe will report a success, and it will create the service Notepad. But if you try and start your new Notepad service, you'll get an error. This is because the Notepad executable doesn't understand what it's being asked to do. You can get around this by using a handy utility called srvany.exe. This is another resource kit tool that you can get from http://tinyurl.com/hotel-xray-8-november-charlie. srvany.exe is basically a wrapper that will listen for requests from the SCM and pass them on to your application. Using Notepad as an example again, you change the command line to sc space create space notepad space bin path equals space percent window percent slash system32/srvany.exe. Now you need to make a change to the registry to add the parameters that srvny is going to run. You can do this by using the reg command that I talked about in TWT82. By the way, I forgot to mention that you can get reg as part of the SP4 support tools downloadable from the MS website at http://tinyurl.com/kilo-hotel-9-1-papa. Anyway, the reg command line would be reg space add space hklm slash system slash current control set slash services slash notepad slash parameters space /v space application space /d space c:\winnt/system32/notepad.exe. Now you'll be able to start and stop your Notepad service. It won't actually do anything visible, but if you check the task manager, you'll see that there's a copy of the Notepad application running, and it will disappear when you stop the Notepad service. Obviously, this isn't very useful, but it does demonstrate the concepts. If there's an application that you always need running in the background, then this could be a good way to deal with it. The main thing to remember is that the signals that SRVNE uses are not ones that normal applications expect to see. Specifically, the shutdown request that it sends when you stop the service is the terminate process API call, which will essentially kill the process without letting it clean up first. On that note, it's time to wrap up. This has been another episode of Today with a Tech Radio, on the web at twatech.org, where you'll find a transcript of this show and all the links I've mentioned. Shouts to Droops, Mr. Petrillo, all the content providers that keep Twat on the air, and all of you folks for listening. Remember that if you've got any information to share, this would be a fine place to do the sharing. My name's Kynan, and if you've got any comments or suggestions, then drop me a line at kynan@kynan.org. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.